In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's speak about baptism on this great day for you of your rebirth, Marie. Really, let's start with the scriptures. Let's start with the second one read, which is the gospel. Now, the gospel says something very important that people sometimes don't pick up on. We are called to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ commands his disciples. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Amen. So, with baptism comes rebirth as a new creature, and you then have a responsibility. Your responsibility is to learn to follow the commandments, to strive for perfection, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to attain to the measure of the stature of the perfect man, who is Jesus Christ. So that is your command now, and you're capable of doing it because of what has just transpired in the baptismal waters and in the chrismation, which gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, in our day, baptism is not for you, by no means, because I've spoken with you many times. But for many people, especially when their children are baptized, their infants are baptized, baptism is a ceremonial event. It's something where people get dressed up, they take movies, pictures, and then they have a party afterwards. I think in my experience, there's been 3 times that I have baptized a baby, and they have turned around, walked out of the church, never come back, and they had their party while the liturgy was going on that their child should have communed in. They didn't understand that baptism is not just sort of a ceremonial event, thing you invite your family to. Baptism is where you are reborn and then you are to live true life. Now, there is no life outside of God. We don't understand this. Now, those who are Christian, who read the scriptures, who love the church, which is the body of Christ, know this. But even we who know this don't really fully understand this, because constantly we are looking at things that are dead and treating them like they are alive. We look at money, or we look at our ego gratification, or we look at pleasure, or we look at entertainment, or we look at being more comfortable in life, or whatever it is, and that seems to be life. But those things are death. The only thing that is alive in the universe is God. God brings his life to us through baptism, and then we are to grow up to maturity. Just as we have children in the parish right now, they're going to grow to maturity. Some of them don't talk yet. Some of them cannot do algebra yet. I don't think any of them can do calculus yet, but they will. They grow to maturity. And so in the same way, we grow to maturity in Christ. This is your marching order, shall we say. I baptized you, and I told you a few things, what I knew, and it wasn't as organized as it should have been, but that's sort of the way I am, unfortunately. But I told you things from my heart, and I hope you understood what I said from my heart to you. All that matters in life is Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. So baptism makes you capable now of having completely be possessed by and possess Jesus Christ. To convince him fully and totally that all you want is him, and all you want is to be in the light and to be perfected and to be holy and to be without sin and to have knowledge of him, which is salvation, perfect knowledge of him. So this is the purpose of baptism, to bring you to that eventuality. And you're capable of it now because you are a new creature. But I want to stress one more time that baptism is the beginning and you have responsibilities now. You shouldn't live in the way you used to live. There should be changes that occur in your life. You should get better. Now, maybe you'll get better slowly. That's the way I get better. But you should get better, and you should read the scriptures daily, and you should pray daily, and you should communicate, take the holy mysteries, confession, be fasting, so that you can become perfected. It's the whole reason for all of it. We don't do anything just for some sort of obscure reason. Everything we do in life should be so that we can be mature according to the stature of Jesus Christ. I want to explain to you a little bit about the reading for baptism, which is Romans chapter 6, which I believe you and I talked about, but we'll go over it again for the benefit of everyone. And it's good to talk about it many times in your lifetime anyway. It's very critical to understand. So he says, actually the whole chapter is about baptism in some way, and it should be read in context, but this is a portion of Romans chapter 6. Brethren, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, we don't like death, most of us. Our society doesn't like death. But we as Christians should actually crave death. You have to crave the right kind of death. You have to crave death to sin, death to passion, death to that which is dead, and then you'll be truly alive. Remember in another place, the Lord says, "He who will, let him take up his cross and follow me, for he who will save his life will lose it. But he who will lose his life for mine and the gospel's sake, the same will save it." So we as Christians should be, as Paul says in another place, dying daily. But we die to the right things. We die to sin. We die to that which is already dead. And so you as a Christian, all of us as Christians, must learn to discern what is dead and what is alive in the world. Most of the things that are in the world are dead. And we have to learn what is alive and seek out that which is alive and become life ourselves. So you were baptized into Christ's death. What did he do when he died? He was buried. 3 days later, after going down into Hades and loosing the bonds of death, breaking the bonds of death, we just stopped singing liturgically, but I will mention it again. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. So his death brings about our life. So we must also die. You go into the water, it's like being buried. You are dead. The things that you were that are dead should be dead now. Now, if you think that's bad English, it's not really. Theologically, it's completely correct. Because we have things in us that are dead, but we still think of them as alive. All the things that are dead, you must think are dead. And the things that are alive, you must know that they are alive. And the only thing that's alive is the grace of God within you. Everything else in the world is dead. So, St. Paul goes on to say, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in the newness of life. The summary, really, of what is the purpose of baptism. Be buried, to be dead, and to come back alive as a new creature to have the newness of life. Then he makes an outstanding, amazing, incredible, impossible for man, but not for God, promise. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now we can understand something about death since we experience it, we see it, we understand it. It happens all the time. But we don't really understand yet the resurrection. Because eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has in store for us. We know a little bit about it, but not a lot. And we shall be not just in the likeness of his death, but in the likeness of his resurrection. And he is the perfect man. We see a little bit of evidence of how he changed when he went through the doors. He went through, first of all, the tomb without opening it. And then he also went through the doors of the upper room without opening it. Just went through the doors because his body was perfected. It was a different body than we have. It was still a human body, but it was a perfected human body. And we are going to have that perfected human body and a perfected human soul and be with him forever. And all we need do is struggle to live according to the commandments, to beg his help, and he will help us. But we have the ability now because of baptism. So St. Paul goes on to say, knowing this, that is knowing that we shall be planted in the, being planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he who is dead is freed from sin. That's what's happened to you. You died. and you came back to life, and you're free from sin. Now, you can make a choice to go back to sin, and unfortunately, every one of us unfortunately makes this choice every day to go back to sin. But we are free from sin if we take on Christ. What we said when we went around the fount was, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So putting on Christ means putting on His righteousness, His holiness, His power, so that you are free from sin. So no matter what happens to you in your life, no matter if you have terrible things that happen or all good things, whether or not you fall into a great sin or small ones, you must remember, you are free from sin. There is no sin which can enslave you anymore unless you choose to allow it to enslave you. This is a critical thing to understand, especially when we're struggling against sin. The victory has been won, and we must take that victory. The Lord has already slain sin. Now, we can choose to go back to sin, but we are free to not choose now. And so, after your baptism, may it be that you choose to choose life and not sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For then that He died unto sin once, but that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've died today, and we're celebrating a death. And that death is of things that are already dead. And now you must remember that you're dead to things that are dead, but alive to things that are alive. And that is the things of God, spiritual things, holy things, eternal things, things that neither moth nor rust destroy. That's what's happened today. Now it's up to you. Of course, you will have help. You have a very good sponsor. She will pray for you. She'll help you. She'll keep in contact with you. I will pray for you to the end of my days, and my prayers are poor. But I also, as a priest, pray for you before the altar. In fact, today I commemorated you for the first time, sort of in thinking of the future, which we are at now, commemorated you as an Orthodox Christian for the first time in the proskomedi, the preparation service before the liturgy. So my prayers are always with you, Deborah's, other people who love you. So now you live for true life. Be dead to the things that are already dead. Be alive to the things that are alive. God will help you. This is a glorious day. May God bless you and may God help you in all things. Amen.